when I got, Alan asked me to speak a couple of weeks ago, I was kind of like, oh, you know, what am I going to speak about? And kind of the thought popped into my head about what I should speak about, and that was all cool. And then I was like, oh, man, it's Christmas. Should I do something Christmassy, you know? And then I was like, oh, no, I'll just roll with what I got. And then I was sitting there today, and I was like, oh, it actually relates to Christmas a little bit. So what I'm going to speak about tonight is offense. So not like offense, but offense. So if I offend you type of vibe, I'm sorry in advance. So with Christmas time and family dynamics, it can often be a time where offense can happen. So just a show of hands, put your hand up in the air if you've ever been offended before. Hold it up. All right, now everyone have a look around. Okay, now you know who all the honest people in church are. Okay, so it says in Luke 17 verse 1, this is the New King James Version. Then he said to the disciples, so this is Jesus speaking to the disciples, it is impossible that no offences should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. So basically Jesus is saying, you're going to get offended. That's the end of the story, you know. You're going to get offended. That's just the reality. So a couple of weeks ago, I kind of had this revelation. I was like, why do people get so offended all the time? We seem to live in a world that's so, you can get offended so easily. It's so hypersensitive. And what I kind of came to the conclusion was that when someone offends us, it's often creating a heart reaction. So if you're sitting in church and someone's up here talking about giving and you're not reconciled with your giving, you're not sure where you stand, that creates a reaction in your heart. It can create some guilt or some conviction in your heart. So it's often comes out of a place in our heart where we're reacting to what someone is saying or what someone said to us. So we've got to be real careful with offense to let it go and not let it eat at us. So offense eats away at our attitude. So the more we get offended, the worse our attitude gets towards something. So it's quite common in church, you know, we get offended and we get bitter and we get twisted and, you know, all that type of stuff. So we've got to be real careful and we've got to constantly check ourselves about how we're getting offended, and we've got to deal with it before it goes too far. So basically, if you get something out of tonight, I'm just going to quickly go over what offense is, how it happens, and how we disarm it. So basically it says, you're probably all familiar with it in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he comes to give us life and life to the fullest. So the devil's agenda is to destroy, and he does that by division, right? So he wants to destroy us, and to do that, one of his tactics is to divide us. And so one of his tactics in division is offense. So you can have a friend, you know, that's real good for you, and he'll use little bits of offense to divide you and slowly divide you apart. So just a little disclaimer, about 20% of this message is me. Probably the other 80% is a various mix of pastors like Stephen Furtick and T.D. Jakes and stuff like that. So I remember quite a while ago, I was watching one of Stephen Furtick's messages, and it was on offense. And he had this illustration, which was quite cool, and he said that offense is made up of little things. It's not one big thing. It's like when the story of, you know, take the plank out of your eye before you point out the speck in someone else. He made the real cool point that a plank is made up of heaps of specks. And so he had this illustration. He had a newly married couple on the stage, and he got a planter box, and he got them to stand on either side of it. And he said, like, you know, you like pancakes on your birthday, and he doesn't make you pancakes on your birthday. Puts a you know, a fence paling in. And slowly it just builds up to all of a sudden they're now standing on two different sides of the fence. So now all of a sudden, one little thing, two little things, three little things, and there's now a big gap. So that's what the devil wants to do to us, not only in our relationships, but in our friendships, in our workplaces, in our churches, everything like that. So we've got to be on guard for this. We've got to be aware of it, and we've got to know how to combat it. So Stephen Furtick, one of his quotes, the reason it's so hard for you to stay happy is it's so easy for you to get offended. If you want to stay happy, make it easier to get offended. Make it harder to get offended. That makes a bit more sense, right? So, like I was saying before, this eats away at our happiness if we're constantly getting offended. So, what do we do if we get offended? Because, you know, Jesus said it to the disciples, it's inevitable, we're going to get offended. You know, that's life. It goes on, it's going to happen. It's probably already happened, it's going to happen, and it's going to happen again till the day you die. So, what do we do when we get offended. So we've got a choice when we get offended, right? So if Josh Taylor offends me, I've got a choice, which he won't because he's lovely, you know, so that's why I picked him. So if Josh offends me, I can do two things with it. I can then harbour it, I can hold on to it, I can resent, I can hold a grudge, or I can choose to forgive. So basically, you've got to decide what you're going to do with that offence. You've got to decide in your heart whether you're going to forgive or whether you're going to hold on to it. And if I hold on to it or if I forgive, it's probably not going to affect Josh too much, but it is going to affect me. So it doesn't mean, when you forgive someone for an offence, it doesn't mean you agree with what they've said. It doesn't mean you agree with what they've done. It's not an agreeance, but it's saying, hey, I'm not going to get hung up on this. I'm going to choose to forgive them anyway. And I know that if I don't, it's going to constantly add up and build up with all these other little things. And it's going to, instead of thinking about my future and where I'm going and my calling, it's going to, instead I'm going to be thinking about what's back here. So basically, the devil wants to divide us. He wants to use offense to divide us from each other, and that stops at what we do in our calling. So it's really important that we are constantly checking ourselves to make sure that we are forgiving constantly, because it's not always an easy thing. But I just really want to stress that once again. It doesn't mean you agree with what they did or what they say, but it's you choosing that I'm not going to spend my time and my energy and my thoughts thinking about this, but I'm going to choose to forgive and move on, just as the devil does. So it's hard to forgive sometimes, and it's a process. So we can only do it by God's grace, as he's forgiven us. There's plenty of ways to seek forgiveness. If you're struggling with it, you can get prayer. Sozos, you've heard some of the amazing testimonies over the videos and here in church over the last few months. Sozos are amazing. It's amazing some of the stories that you hear of people of how far back stuff goes. You know, to people that have passed, that are dead, that no longer, you know, are in their lives and alive. So it's just something that can be affecting us in the background that we don't necessarily realize is happening. So my challenge to you would be, when you're spending time with God, make that one of your things in your checklist. God, am I holding something? Am I offended? Have I been offended that I don't even realize it? Is there someone that I need to forgive? Is there an offense that I need to overlook and reconcile? And just really, start to hone on that. And as I've sort of applied that into my own life, I found, A, that it's been great for my attitude towards stuff, and B, there's been stuff there that I haven't even realized. I've been like, oh, yeah, they said that, whatever, cool, move on, forget about it. But it actually affects you in the background when you don't realize it. So, especially at Christmas time, you know, family dynamics, there's a whole lot of interesting stuff that goes on out there. So just really try and keep that in the forefront of your mind, that, you know, God loves us, and that's what we're supposed to do. That's our call, is to love one another as Christ loves us. So in these times where you find yourself challenged, just remember that you don't have to forgive them, you don't have to love them on your own accord, but you can do it with the help of God. So just really keep that, and I just really want to hammer that home, that, just keep constantly asking God, keep forgiving, keep reconciling any offences, because when we start to reconcile these offences and learn to deal with them and not be so offended, it's going to open up a whole lot of other doors, and it's going to change our opinion and our attitude and a lot of stuff, especially with church. You know, we always think we can do it better or whatever, and we always get offended because they talk about a topic that hits home for us. So you really want to be careful, because that is the enemy's plan, is to divide you from church, to build up these little offences one by one, to slowly to build the fence. So just really, I just really challenge you to keep, praying about it, keep mulling on it, and just really keep that at the forefront of your mind, because offence, when you let go of it, does really affect your attitude towards things. So I just really want to encourage you in that, and it's something that I've had a bit of revelation around myself, something we're not going to get perfect, that we need to constantly work at. So I just really encourage you, especially over the Christmas time, put it into practice. So that's all I've got for you tonight. But I'm going to welcome up our next speaker, Mr. Samuel Wright. So, the man, the myth, the legend. So, he's going to bring some fire for us. So, give him a round of applause.
Oh, man. Thanks, Nate. Oh, I live with Nate, and I still think he's a man. So, I think that's saying something, eh? Yeah, Nate, you're the man. Yeah, as Nate is saying, my name's Sam, and I'm pretty stoked to be up here tonight. Yeah, when Eleanor originally asked me to speak, I'm not going to lie, I was going to say a big, fat, stinking no. And I was trying to make an excuse to get out of it. She asked me, I was like, I'll get back to you. And my biggest reasoning was I'm on break now, and I'm like, oh, I just want to sit down. Anyone else on break in here? Yeah. Who's not on break? Yeah, I can see the jealous faces out there, but you know, I just wanted to relax. I wanted to do nothing. I just wanted to stuff my face with Lindt chocolate or Lindt chocolate and let those new grapefruit and lemon fruit juice. Has anyone had those before? I'm like addicted. I buy like 2 packets per supermarket trip. And so if you want to get me something for Christmas, there you go. But God really stirred something inside me. And it's funny because God has a sense of humor, right? And he said to me, I don't take breaks, so why should you? I'm like, man, what? Oh, God, come on. Come on, God. You know, I'm tired. I'm a bit grumpy. I've worked hard. Come on, God. But, you know, he's right. God doesn't take breaks. And God's word and power doesn't take a day off as well. So I was really challenged to say yes. So here I am. Thank you, God. What I wanted to talk to you guys about tonight is something that's been kind of brewing in my head for ages, and something that's really thrown around in Christian circles. It's the idea of breakthrough. Breakthrough has been an idea I've thought about constantly this year, actually, and especially at our Increase conference, where I personally believed and saw and prayed for many breakthroughs to take place. So the title of my message, if you're taking notes tonight, which would be cool, is Just Hold On, Your Breakthrough is Coming. And I wanted to start with a story tonight, and I can't remember where I heard it from, and some of you might have heard it before, but it's about this lady. She wanted to be the first person, or she wanted to break a record, to swim these 2 channels blindfolded. And it's like, whoa, I can't even swim a channel, you know, being able to see. But she wanted to do it blindfolded, and so she was preparing, she's gearing up, and she took place on this challenge, and she had these lifeboats kind of following her just to make sure she was all right. But she wasn't, they weren't allowed to tell her how close they were if she's going off, so that was part of the problem. And so she's going, she's doing really well, she's making amazing pace, record-setting like time, and then all of a sudden she's like really close to the shore, probably like 50 meters, so like it's that last little push, and all of a sudden she turns over, starts to float and say, I can't do it anymore. And the people in the lifeboat, they can see the shore right there, and they want to tell her, you're almost there, but they're not allowed to. So they say, are you sure? She goes, yes. So they pick her up on the boat, and then she takes her blindfold off, and she sees that the shore is right there. She's kicking herself. She's saying, oh man, if I only pushed through that a little bit more, I would have made it. And so now hearing that story, I think it's such a powerful illustration about faith and what it means to live by faith in order to receive the breakthrough in our lives. When talking about breakthrough, I want to talk about what it looks like to move past our burdens, to bust through our circumstances or situations, to break through anxieties and insecurities, to move past a life of darkness and despair, to break through. Everyone say breakthrough. Breakthrough. Everyone say breakthrough. Breakthrough. Oh, there we go. Breakthrough into a new God-filled, Spirit-saturated, full of light, life with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 So the word spiritual breakthrough aren't specifically mentioned in the Bible, but they're examples of what we call breakthrough in there. And the book of Acts is a full example of this. Saul had a spiritual breakthrough, a literal eye-opening experience when he sees who Jesus really is. And that's in Acts number 9. The idea of breakthrough is an important idea in modern life, however. Nowadays especially, it is a promise that we're going to go through tough times. Or even just lukewarm times. Times where we're struggling, times where we're physically or mentally in pain, times where we're disconnected with God, and times where we just can't see a way out. The Bible often talks about we will go through trials and tribulations in life. James 1 verse 2 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind." And John 16:33 also says, part of it says, "In this world you will always have troubles." The Bible never promises an easy life with God. But going back to the swimmer, she was clearly struggling with the task at hand because she was blindfolded. She couldn't see the good news in front of her, right? She didn't know where or how close to the shore she was. She didn't know how close she was to her breakthrough. You know, she let her circumstances get the better of her. If only she knew she only had a few more seconds or minutes to push through to that next part, she definitely would have pushed through, right? If she only knew she was so close to that breakthrough, she would have just kept going on. And a lot of the time, I believe us, you and I, I like that. We're believing for God to move and to create a breakthrough. We can't see the breakthrough, but believing it is coming. It could be to heal our leg that's been sore for ages, for example. It could be to heal the next door neighbor who has cancer. It could be to pray to get a spiritual breakthrough with God. You know, we're crying out to God for him to intervene and to save us and for God to solve our situation. Whatever it is, I want to talk about 3 points tonight. The first point I want to discuss is this. For our breakthrough to come, it must be God's plan, not ours. A lot of the time, we think we know what's best for our lives because, you know, it's our life, for goodness sake. We should know what, you know, it's best for it. We think we know what's going to unlock our breakthrough. We say, oh God, if only I had this, I'd be way happier. Or you'd say, oh God, just let me have this and, you know, we'll be close, we'll be tight, me and you, God. Or we would say, God, just let me have this one thing and everything will turn out all right. You know, and how many times does it actually turn out all right? Let's have a look. I tell you that doing things in our own strength never works out. You know, we only dig ourselves deeper and deeper and deeper into the hole that we've already got ourselves into, we've already started with. The Lord has a way of doing things in his timing. The Lord has a way of doing things in his timing when he sees best fit. You know, we only see it from one point of view. We only see it from our humanistic point of view. We only have a couple of the puzzle pieces for this massive puzzle we call life. And we only see it from a perspective of our own personal lens. In Proverbs 3 verse 5 to 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths." For our breakthrough to come, we need to put our faith in God to come through. We need to rely on his strength, not ours. And it does seem tough, you know, because God isn't standing right beside us physically. You know, he's not there aligning all these puzzle pieces in front of us. That's why a step of faith is in order to trust the Lord and that because he knows better for our life. And point two is that we need to do something about it after this. After giving it over to God, it's really up to us to go forward and get our breakthrough. We need to claim it. That step of faith is so crucial, and the first step can also be the hardest step. I know for me, the first step is really hard. You know, when I'm studying and I'm sitting on the couch or I'm in bed and I know I need to do a job, just that first motivation is always the hardest part to get to, right? But once you're kind of into it, it becomes a lot easier. But it's just that first initial step is really, really hard. It's that mental blockade that we have. It's something that makes it physically hard to start this journey. Stepping into what God has for us can be one of the hardest things as well. But without taking that step, we will never receive any kind of breakthrough at all. We need to take what is given to us to claim this opportunity in front of us in faith, and to live in faith and to expect the breakthrough. Seeking out our breakthrough is the first step to receiving it. It's that simple. If we aren't willing to work at it, to actively seek it, you won't receive anything. God rewards those who are diligent in work and will work hard. Proverbs 12:27 says, "The lazy man does not roast what he is hunting, but diligence is man's precious possession." I love this verse because the Lord encourages us to work hard for what we want. It rewards hard work. It rewards that faithful first step. If you've heard the saying, you never know till you try, it's so true. Seeking breakthrough is hard work. It depends how bad you want it. You have to try and work hard in order to see success. This leads into my third and last point, is live by faith. We need to live by faith that my breakthrough is coming, amen? Once we have taken that first step, it's our duty to work and to be faithful if you want to see the fruits of your labor. If you want to see something happen, you must live by the way Jesus talked about. In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7, he says, "For we live by faith and not by sight." And unlike the woman who gave up in this swimming, swimming thing, I'll say that's a good word to use. If she just kept on going, she would have succeeded. We must not give up. We must keep the faith and keep working hard because you never really know when your breakthrough is coming. It may just be around the corner, like the lady swimming. If we give up and lose faith, then what chance do we have to see success? 0%. If we give up and lose faith, we'll never get to see the successes because that's where it ends. It's final. There's no room for any breakthrough whatsoever. Even if the future looks bleak, keep believing for breakthrough. Even if you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, keep believing for breakthrough. Even if you feel like it's hopeless and nothing is moving or proceeding, keep believing for breakthrough. Your breakthrough could be just around the corner. Amen? In saying this, I believe we are all searching for breakthrough in some capacity. And when we stop believing for our breakthrough, that's where the journey ends. You know, the swimmer, she lost out her breakthrough because she gave up and couldn't push through, or she didn't push through. So tonight has been an encouragement to put God first in all that you do, to make the first move and to be proactive in order to receive success, and to live by faith and not by sight, and to expect that your breakthrough is just around the corner. Amen? Cool, that's all I have tonight. Thank you, guys. And I just want to invite up our next speaker. She's going to kill it tonight. I'm so excited to hear it. It's Chelsea Roper.
Kia ora, everybody. I just wanted to say it's awesome to hear from Nathaniel and Sam because it's great to hear young men talk about their faith and what God's doing in their lives, you know. So I just want to honour you guys. Thank you. I was a bit like Sam. I was like, Ellen texted and was like, "You want to preach? You want to talk?" And I was like, "I love to talk. That's why I write my notes. Otherwise, I go off tangent." But I was like, "Oh, I'm on holiday. I just want to do stuff that's anyway." But I'm here, and I felt like God said to me, "Chelsea, you should always have a reason for your hope." Yeah. And I was like, "Yeah, John, yeah, yeah. No, you're right." And I've got some amazing reasons for my hope. And God's just like, "Share your testimony, you know. Tell them about what I've done in your life because it's powerful." And I was like, "Okay, God, I'm there. I'm going to do this." So I just wanted to kind of, I love the two topics that they've talked on because I've been offended and I've had breakthrough. And I want to talk on God's provision and faithfulness and just remind us about it. The Bible tells us over again that God is faithful. And I can testify this in my own life and my testimony. So I'm just going to quickly pray because I like to pray at the start and that just gives me my peace. So here we go. Dear Father, we just come to you tonight and we just want to praise you and thank you for your provision and your faithfulness, Father. And we just want to commit the service to you and ask for your presence to come and fill this place. Amen. Okay, so I'm Chelsea, as we said before. I've been walking with Jesus since 2006. I'm also a mum to three handsome boys, Ra, Josiah, and Levi. I'm married to a caring, generous, and God-fearing man, Edward. I'm also a teacher by day, so I'm on holiday at the moment. And my superpower is to sew and create. Some of my students in the house. In Ephesians 3:20 it says, "Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." I love that scripture. My relationship with God started in 2006, as I said before, in a windblown park 13 years ago. And I never looked back. only to see how far he's grown me, strengthened me, and completely turned my life upside down, back to front, but for the better. I grew up in Sunny Hawks Bay, Napier on the East Coast. It's well known for Art Deco buildings, if you like that sort of thing. Growing up, I actually knew nothing about God. I was brought up in a low-income, non-Christian family, and my mother single-handedly raised myself and my siblings. And we had happy memories growing up, but we also were exposed to a spectrum of unpleasant things too. The first time I heard about God was actually at a place called Camp David. Does anyone know what Camp David is? Yeah. I was only 10, and I went to this Christian camp, and I just remember one of the leaders prompting us to make a decision to ask Jesus to come into our hearts. And I really didn't think much about it then. I was just like, cool, we get to ride horses and splash around and go swimming and all that sort of stuff. And I realized then that God planted a seed back then in my life, and it was beginning to kind of outwork and unfold. I knew I wanted to do something with my life. I moved out of home and I lived with a friend for a while before deciding to move kind of further away from home in New Plymouth. And this is where I decided to further my education. I enrolled in a design diploma. I always knew one of my strengths was being creative, as I said before, my superpowers. But I was never sure where it was going to take me. I fell pregnant in the second year of my diploma. Dum, dum, dum. Not ideal. I decided that I would keep this baby and not have an abortion because I'd had some counselling, and that I would raise this baby on my own no matter what and see what life would turn out like. So with the arrival of my first son, Ra, my plans changed again. And I thought, you know, I can still do something with my life. So I decided to move to Auckland this time. I started anew. I cross-credited to a degree and everything was going really well. And then I fell pregnant again. Dun, 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 not ideal again. I was looking at my options. You know, I was a solo mum at this stage. And with one child and trying to do my degree, it was actually really super hard juggling both. So I take my hat off to all those solo mums out there. You're amazing. I kind of thought I could abort this child and go straight back onto uni. Or I could keep this child and I could be a full-time mum. And probably give up on finishing my degree. So I decided, again, as Sam was talking about, in my own strength, I booked into the abortion clinic. And at this stage, I didn't know that there was another way to life, other than what I'd seen in my own upbringing. But although I still didn't know God at this time, well, I had a friend at university who did. And I asked her to come with me to the clinic. And she said, I don't agree with your decision, but I will come with you. And I love that because Jesus is like that. He walks with us no matter what we're doing. He goes with you. And an hour before the appointment, she said, let's go for a walk. So we went for a walk in Albert Park, and she asked me if we could stop and pray. And I said yes, because I was being polite. I didn't want to offend her. However, while she was praying, I thought to myself that this is a bit weird that she's praying. But I asked God when she was praying, I kind of felt this presence on me, God, like, if you're real, give me a sign. Like, show me. And like I said before, it was a really windy day, and God spoke to me clearly through a wind-blown piece of paper that landed right on my leg. And it had in big, bold letters, life and death. And the scripture was John 5:24. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Whoa, okay. I was like, okay, God. I decided right then that I would keep that baby. And instead of going to the clinic, we went and celebrated and we had lunch. We had pasta at an Italian place. It was great. This began my early stages of my relationship with God. And my relationship with God just grew from strength to strength. I went to church, I gave my heart to God. And that service, they anointed the whole church with oil in the Mercury Theatre at Equippers Church in Auckland. And that was over 600 people. It was crazy. That was my first encounter with church. I was like, whoa. I continued my studies. I went through uni pregnant. So it's like you're doing a fashion degree, you're pregnant, you're a solo mum, and you've got nothing to wear, and you're poor as. It's not a good look. Anyway, I got through it by the grace of God. I found that year so difficult. I prayed a lot. I felt strongly to give adoption a go. So I made a sacrifice to give this baby to someone who could give him what I couldn't at that stage of my life. I went through plenty of profiles and I finally adopted him out to the girl's mum who prayed for me in the park that day. God knew the plan. He's always faithful. My second son, Josiah, was born and I handed him over knowing that God would be faithful to look after not just me but us both. He was blonde, blue-eyed, and so was everyone in the family that I adopted him out to. I also became part of this family because they embraced not only me, but my son Ra as well. So our family grew, it didn't shrink. I didn't lose, I gained. I joined up to a life group, or connect groups, I suppose we call them in our church. I got water baptized. I so recommend you do it if you haven't. Changed my life again. After I got water baptized, I spent the first 6 months of my walk with God, and things just kind of propelled really fast in that 6 months. Through this time, I felt God was saying to me that he'd take care of me, that he had a plan for me, a purpose for my life, because I chose to follow him. A verse that really spoke to me this time, at that time, was Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Six months later, I met Edward. I was in no way, shape, or form looking for a man after all of that. I was like, oh, hell no. Get behind me, Satan. Oh. But he pursued me. And at church, they kept preaching, and I was like, okay, God, you got a sense of humor. But they kept preaching about like how to date and how to do things right, and I was like, yeah, you're funny, okay. And they kept saying, hang out in a group, don't go out by yourself. And so, you know, you get to know the person, the good, the bad, and the ugly, all that stuff, and I was like, oh, so good, should have had that back then. So we went out for coffee. Well, he asked me for coffee, and I asked a friend to come, so he was like, oh, really? And I was like, uh-huh. And well, the rest is history. So since journeying and trusting in the faithfulness of God, he's delivered me through many amazing times. And I've seen his provision. He's also helped me through many difficult valleys in my life as well since then. I've surrendered in those valleys and let God take over. And I've been living a full-on life with God. Like, if you want to come with Jesus, put your seatbelt on, man. He's going to take you places. God faithfully got me through. And I've got a little list here. Finishing my degree. Woohoo! And I got selected as one of the only 15 to get selected to show at New Zealand Fashion Week. So that was like, oh, tick the bucket list. One of 10 of 68 of the students to graduate in my year who got jobs in the fashion industry. I met an amazing man at church. I also met my real dad 6 weeks before I got married. So he walked me down the aisle at my wedding. What a backwards fairy tale that was. It's another story night. God stirred in me to retrain as a teacher. And I was like, okay, I don't even know if I like students. Turns out I do. I like you. Ed and I had a baby boy, and we did it the right way. So that completed our blended family. And again, just grew our family again. God led me through the death of my mother and her 7-year battle with cancer. And 6 months before she passed, I thought, God, like, how am I going to save my family? Like, they're all non-Christian. Mum's the hardest. I'll go for my brothers and sisters first. He's like, no, go for the mother. And I was like, Mum, will you come to church? She came here and she got saved in the second row right here. Amazing. Amen. So she knows the Lord. She's waiting for me up there. God has provided a way and a means for us to design and build our own house. Now, we've been praying for 9 years, okay? Now, if you pray for something, I just want to encourage you, keep praying, don't give up. We've been in a house for 11 weeks. I love it. So if you come over, don't touch my walls. No, just kidding. It's a dream come true. I never would have thought 13 years ago that I'd be married to Edward with our two boys, or three if you count Desire. A Christian, working as a teacher in a Christian school, teaching children and enjoying it with a huge family. God knows and he has great plans. I want to use this opportunity not to dwell on the details of my past, but to encourage each one of you. It doesn't matter what your past is, what mess or difficulties we have brought upon ourselves or through circumstances, but God is still faithful. And he will provide a way to use it all for our good. All of it. If we're prepared to turn it all over to God and to trust in him for our future, he is willing and able to do more abundantly above all we can ask or think. God is true to his name, his character, his word, and we can trust his purposes, his promises and his care. God is faithful, but our ability to trust in him is not as faithful sometimes. There are so many ways in which we manifest our lack of trust. My hope and my goal for myself and for you is to develop a deeper trust in God each day. When things don't go our way, we want to learn to trust God will lead us through the disappointment. When death seems to gain the upper hand, we want to trust God that he will bring life. When people disappoint and fail us, and they will offend as well, right? Yep. He will never fail us. When we do not see God at work in a certain situation, I want us to rest in the peace that he knows all about it. I pray that we will be able to learn to trust in all circumstances. And just to finish in Hebrews 4:16, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it most. Amen. Thank you.